If they could see me now. My little dusty group traipsing round this $1 million chicken coop. I'd like those stumble bums to see for a fact the kind of top drawer, first rate chums I attract. All I can say is, wow, look at where I am. Tonight I landed, pow, right in a pot of jam. What a setup, holy cow. They'd never believe it if my friends could see me.
Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and I am welcoming back Jeff Harner. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Donald. It's so good to be back.
I know. I was looking back to see when you were on, and it wasn't that long ago. You were here last May, not this last May, but May of last year, when you were here to talk about your Sondheim album. And now you're here because you have another album on PS Classics, which is like amazing that you've got two albums this close together. That's a lot
it
of work.
It will never happen like that again. It was 17 years between albums before the Sondheim album. So to have two in a row is like, you know, whiplash.
I know. Because when I got the publicity release about the album, I remember that I emailed back to the publicist, Dan. I said, wait, what? Jeff has another new album? I said, wasn't it just last year that we had the Sondheim album? How did he turn around and do another album so fast? This usually takes a while for anybody to do an album. But this new album is wonderful. It's called A Collective Sigh. Sigh, of course, spelled C-Y as in Cy Coleman. And it's a wonderful album with that's been arranged and orchestrated by the amazing Alex Rybak. And it, of course, it is on PS Classics, as you call it, the Rolls Royce of record labels, which is what it is. And why don't we start by talking about your love of Cy Coleman and where it all began? Because I believe, based on what I read, that it all began with a cast recording of Sweet Charity.
It did. It began when I was seven and Sweet Charity was new on Broadway, and my parents gave me that album. I will never know why. They might have thought it was, you know, like Little Mary Sunshine, Sweet Charity.
let's give our 7 year old son a cast recording about a quote unquote dance hall hostess.
Well, I have a feeling that my great aunt Fran lived in Manhattan at that time, and she was the fashion editor at 17 Magazine. I would suspect that she suggested it to them because she gave me Man of La Mancha as a gift. So, which, you know, equally, you know, the kitchen slut. Mom was a kitchen slut. they did give me interesting albums. But anyway, yes, I probably was the first time my brain exploded musically was listening to that cast album. I had already heard Finian's Rainbow, which every song is a favorite song to me. I could just listen to that album over and over. And How to Succeed in Business, every song could listen to that over and over. But something about the Cy Coleman, historically, it's a kind of pop jazz sensibility that was new to Broadway, but it was definitely new to my ears. And I just loved it. And also every singer on that album, it just has that vivacity, you know, that life that I love on cast albums. So yeah, I was hooked on Cy Coleman and started collecting the subsequent cast albums until I got to New York and got to see him actually opening some new shows.
Today I feel New York is really my personal property, right down Broadway to City Hall. Every supermarket, every 5 and 10, all of Lincoln Center and the great UN, they're all my personal property. The zoo in Central Park is merely my private menagerie. I've carved my name on every tree. From Yonkers Raceway to Bowling Green, I own everything around and in between. It's all my personal property. And since I feel today New York is really my personal property, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. Since I like you very much, so very, very much, I'm gonna share it. Metropole, howitzers do. The Christmas windows and the sales at Macy's, Saks and Bloomingdale's. All you boys who come from everywhere, Times Square is lately very far from square. And since I feel New York is my personal property, so very, very much, I'm gonna split it 50-50 with everybody here.
One of the things that I was not aware of was that this album actually comes from a show you did back in 2006 called A Collective Sigh, which you and Alex Rybeck and Sarah Louise Lazarus did at Feinstein's at the Regency, which won a Bistro Award. Talk about that show and how that all came about.
Well, that is the reason why a second album could come out 2 years in a row, because the music was all in place. It just needed to be fully orchestrated.
Simple task.
Which is my part is just emailing Alex and saying orchestrate that. No, he came up with absolutely gorgeous orchestrations. I'll never know how orchestrators hear that in their heads. And know exactly which instruments need to be doing what, but it's magical. We did the show in 2005. The three of us got together, Sarah and Alex and I. You know, Alex and I just celebrated 40 years of working together. June 13th was 40 years since our first show at Paulson Supper Club in 1983. And we brought Sarah onto the team in 1989. So the three of us have been creating these shows. And in 2005, it was Cy Coleman. And I knew that I wanted to do something with the Cy Coleman music because it's such a part of my DNA. And the three of us created that show back then. interestingly, we opened it at Feinstein's at the Regency Hotel, and we're going to launch the album September. Well, it will have launched September 8th at Feinstein's at the Hotel Carmichael. So Feinstein's figures prominently in both bookends of that 17-year divide between and also the album. This is not the best. That's not the most attractive story to tell. But the PS Classics and the album was all set to happen in 2006, and we got a tepid New York Times review.
Oh,
and everybody collected their toys and went home.
Oh, wow!
It just, all of a sudden, it just it wasn't a bad review. It just wasn't an exciting review. Their point of view was that when one thinks of Cy Coleman, one thinks of brassy redheads. And that was the first sentence. And, you know, Alex and I were like, well, does Frank Sinatra know?
Right. I know. I was going to say, that's such a strange comment. Because one of the things we will delve into in a little bit after we finish this is just the versatility and the breadth of Cy Coleman's work cannot be pigeonholed like that. It just can't.
That's right.
But so everything kind of stopped way back then in terms of getting it recorded.
Yes, it did. It stopped with that album happening. So what's happening right now is it really a long-held dream coming true. And, you know, and the moral is hold on to your dreams, because you just never know. The planets may not be aligning at first, but they will maybe align at last.
Mm-hmm. And with such a huge catalog to pick from. Now, I guess one of the questions I have is the album that has just been released, is it the exact same song list as the 2005-2006 show, or has it gone over through changes since you were, in other words, is this the exact same album you would have recorded back then, or have you made changes to the songs? Is it different? It's obviously different orchestrations because you did orchestrate it now.
That's a great question. It's this, last year with the Sondheim album, you could put that on and you are in basically 95%. You're hearing the show from beginning to end.
Right.
That is really the show, because the show is sung through. There is no patter in that show. I don't talk between songs. It is just once I say these words of music of Stephen Sondheim, then everything out of my mouth is Sondheim till the end. And that's what the album is. This album, we knew we wanted to make it different from the show. It's maybe 80% songs that you hear on the show, but there were some songs that are really just weren't going to make easy listening. They're there to be part of the entertainment when we're doing it live. And so our thought was, let's do some duets, which may also distinguish this album from the last one. And so I knew right away that I was going to ask Liz Calloway and Ann Hampton Calloway, because we all went to high school together, and the thought of having a musical reunion that's preserved, I can die happy. <I'm> sorry. Just how gay are you?
Right.
I can die happy. Well, because that exists now. It exists.
Right. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Because I wanted to talk to you, because it is a little bit different than the show. How did you go about selecting the songs that you were going to put on the album from the entire catalog of Cy Coleman? And then how did you select which songs you were going to do? Because you have a wonderful lineup of people that you are collaborating with. Not only, you know, the Calloway sisters, who are, and if people are not familiar with the Calloway sisters, shame on you. You should be. If you listen to the Broadway radio show, you should know who they are, because they are both. And what I love about Ann Hampton Calloway and Liz are that not only are they both Tony nominated performers, but they both have kind of pursued very different careers. Liz much more theater, Ann Hampton Calloway much more in the cabaret. And they are both so distinctive in their vocal styles. You would never, ever mix them up vocally. They're totally different vocal styles, but they blend perfectly together. They love performing together. They are totally different personalities, and they are amazing performers. But I also want to point out that you also have, and I want to look at my notes so I don't screw it up here, but you've also got guitarist Sean Harkness on the album. You do a wonderful song with him. You've got Nicholas King and Danny Bacher on Rhythm of Life with you. both who are wonderful. So talk about picking the songs and then talk about determining the collaborations and who was going to do what and why you wanted these people.
All right. So
there's a lot to unpack there. Sorry.
Well, when we did the show at Feinstein's at the Regency, each week I would have a special guest join me. So that's back in 2006. So Liz joined me one week and we sang Our Private World, and Alex came up with a gorgeous arrangement. And that was one of the things I really wanted, why I wanted that album to happen back then, was to capture that. So I knew right away with the Cy Coleman album that was my very first ask was to Liz, and she texted me right back and said nothing would make me happier. I mean, it just, I can cry. So just so your listeners know that, I mean, Liz and Ann and I were really good friends in high school, and we did all the shows together, and their mother, Shirley Calloway, you know, was in the Chicago Symphony Choir, and she would play the piano for us after school, and we would sing. So singing with the Calloways, now that I'm in my 60s, I won't say their age. I'm in
my 60s. But you were all in high school together, so do the math.
You do it. I'm not right, going
no,
to.
Anyway, that, math for you.
It taps into a very, very deep place of why I love singing, just the bliss of it. So I knew what we were going to do with Liz. And then with Anne, I had two thoughts. And one was to do The Colors of My Life, because back at the, well, anyway, that, I just thought that would be a beautiful song together. And then the other thought I had was I've Got Your Number, which I've never heard as a duet. But to me, it has had the potential of being like two lost souls. Mm-hmm. You know, I could absolutely hear it divided up. And Anne listened to both, and she thought we'd have more fun with I've Got Your Number. Mm-hmm. And Alex came up with a killer arrangement. I'm so pleased with that track.
To do. Well, my sweet chickadee, I've got hot news for you. I've got your number. I know you inside out. You ain't no got your number. I know you inside out. You ain't no Eagle Scout. Your hole at sea.
And then as far as Rhythm of Life goes, on stage, Alex sings one part and our bass player, Jay Lenhart, sings the other part. And Alex was very firm that if that song was going to be on the album, he was not going to sing it. and so that opened the concept of, oh, what have we brought two guest artists? And to honor Cy's jazz roots, mm-hmm. I thought, what better choice than Danny Backer with, you know, who sings and then does his soprano sax, and Nicholas King, who sings and then scats. It's just, and that song I used to play over and over. I mean, yes, I don't want to reveal just how nerdy I was, but, you know, I would write out the parts in my vocal selections book to try and, you know, understand how the fugue worked. Mm-hmm. The harmonies. This is so much fun. So that's how those duets happen. And with Sean Harkness, he's a headliner in his own right, and I just adore him. And I thought, what song? I love having one song that can be just as intimate as possible. So vocal and guitar. And I thought the song It Amazes Me with the correct pronouns. Mm-hmm. My Sondheim albums, you know, is very clear that it is the emotional landscape of an openly gay man. Mm-hmm. This music, because of the lyrics, it's not quite as evident, but this was an opportunity just to say, evidently, he does not agree, you know, to actually. So for people who are really listening, they can hear my truth. And what better way to do it than as exposed as just with the voice and guitar? I'm very grateful to have that.
My height, just average. My weight, just average. And my IQ is like you'd estimate, just average. But evidently, he does not agree. Consequently, if I seem at sea, it amazes me. Simply amazes me what he sees in me, dazzles me, dazes me, that I've learned to clip my wings and soften my ways. These are ordinary things, unworthy of praise. Yet he praises me, just knowing I try for him when so many would, if they could, die for him. I'm the one who's worldly wise But to see me in his eyes, it just amazes me.
And Jay Lenhart is still singing on our album. He's with Alex, did deign to sing the Doodlin' song. So
right.
I have the Doodlin' song with Alex and Jay, just as we do it live. And I love that track too.
It's the collaborations make it's a wonderful, the whole collection is so much fun to listen to because, as I said, and I want to really kind of dive into this now with you, I think when people think of Broadway, I literally was just having this conversation very recently because we were celebrating the 800th episode of this radio show. And I turned the reins over to a friend of mine who's been on the show many, many times. And we flipped the tables so that he took over as host and I had to do my 12 favorite show tunes, which I usually make my guests do. So I had to do it. And one of the songs is I picked a song from On the 20th Century. And we were talking about Cy Coleman. And
which song?
I picked I've Got It All, just because it's just such a fun. I equated brilliant. It to Anything You Can Do from Annie Get Your Gun. In some ways, it's a competition song, but yes. It's a put down competition song between two. And what I loved about it, and what I love about it is it's a composer at his peak, who is someone who is so versatile that he showed Broadway that he could do operetta or mock operetta. And you've got Comden and Green, who are supreme lyric writers. And you've got two over-the-top performers with Madeline Kahn and John Cullum playing larger-than-life characters. And you just add it all together and you've got this explosive comedy masterpiece. But we were talking about Cy Coleman being kind of this forgotten composer on Broadway because he doesn't have this signature style necessarily, because he's not a Richard Rodgers, who you can spot a Richard Rodgers melody. You can spot the way certain people write. You can spot Sondheim just by listening to the way things are written. But that's with right. Cy Coleman, you've got someone who has very deep jazz roots, who wrote some incredible pop standards. I mean, incredible pop standards, many of which are on this album. But he also segued into writing Broadway shows that varied in their style all over the place. I mean, yes. Little Me and Wildcat and Sweet Charity and Seesaw and I Love My Wife and City of Angels, which was right in his wheelhouse, and Will Rogers Follies and The Life.
R&B.
And I mean, all over the place and On the 20th Century. And you just kind of forget that this was a guy who was a master of the art form, but people don't really think of him. And I think he's really one of the best because of his versatility. And whatever he put his hands on, he really mastered it. So
yes,
when it came to that, I'm assuming that that's one of the things that's always drawn you to Coleman.
It
and it's
is
also the lyricists he works with. I mean, it's just, his yes. lyricists are you know, and his work over the years with many of the same lyricists is just amazing.
It is. Yes, it is the Cast albums that I fell in love with. So, you know, I understood he was a musical chameleon very early in my life, that I was never going to know what I was going to get. And that's a dazzling thing. But it is the lyricists that is how I found my way into choosing the songs that you hear on the album, because the lyrics are my text. And first and foremost, I need to be a reliable, believable narrator of the songs I'm singing. So it is the lyricists who pulled me into particular songs. But it's, you know, just to shine a spotlight on one track that I really love is Witchcraft, which is a song, you know, that at first I would have told you that's one that will not be on the album because it's so smarmy. I've only ever heard it done, you know, in a Rat Packy kind of. And yet, because I started with the lyric, there's absolutely nothing about that lyric that I can't picture coming out of my mouth in a seductive mood, in the right setting, at the right time, with the right person. So I sit down with Alex and I tell him, you know, this is the texture that I feel. I think it's slow and I think it's sultry and I think it's very, very seductive. Maybe 3 a.m. or pillow talk. And he came back with this arrangement that, you know, even in our tepid New York Times review, he said he's pulled the boxing gloves off this song, is what the critic said. And he has. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a beautiful arrangement.
Spellbound, I'm hopelessly spellbound. Bewitched by your magic, seduced by your charms. Those fingers in my hair, that that strips my conscience bare. It's witchcraft, and I have no defense for it. The heat is too intense for it. What good would common sense for it do? Cause it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, God says, yes, indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I wouldn't switch. There's no nicer witch.
but one I wouldn't switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you.
And it's probably, of all the lyricists that Coleman worked with, it's, you know, Witchcraft with Carolyn Lee is probably, she's probably the one that most people don't know that much about, because she worked with him on his many of his pop songs. And as I noticed, because I, you know, I listened to the whole album and didn't really look at the booklet until much later. And then as I was writing my notes for this, for the interview, I said, you know, one of the magical things about Coleman's work is his work with her. And there was just magic with the two of them. It really was. And then as I looked at the booklet, I realized she's the most represented lyricist on the album. She really is. And there's a reason for that. And I don't know, is there a feeling you get when the two of them work together?
Well, I can only intellectually say that I think Dorothy Fields collaborated with him primarily on musicals. And once again, he disappeared into the plot and the calls of the, you know, plot driven music needs. And that's maybe why some of the songs don't stand up outside the context as well as Carolyn Lee, who wrote so many standalone standards with him. But no, I give me a good Dorothy Fields lyric too.
Right.
I think we've got some great ones on here. I do find it very interesting that they were such challenging. Well, so the problem might have been him, but that he had such the challenges that he had with both of them are some great stories. And I really love, I actually got to hear one of the great stories right out of his mouth. You know, he told KT and I, he came to see us open a new room in New York called the Firebird Cafe, and he invited us to join him with his wife, Shelby. And he told us a great story about Dorothy Fields and working on Sweet Charity. You know, that if you'd like, I can tell you, but
go for it. Tell us.
Well, I told him what I told you, that I've been in love with him since Sweet Charity. And he said, well, you know, she was 59, Dorothy Fields, when I asked her to collaborate, and we had very different working styles, because she likes to work from 6 a.m. till noon, and then she likes to have her cocktails. And he said, I like to sleep and start work at noon and finish at 6 and have my cocktails. So finding the sweet spot was going to be our challenge. So we decided for our first meeting, we would meet at noon at Sardi's. So he said he got dressed up and he went to Sardi's, and the maitre d' said, yes, Miss Fields is here. She's at the back banquette. And he looked in and saw no one. And he came back and he said, are you sure she's here? I don't see her. And he said, oh yes, she's at the back table banquette. And they went walking back and she had passed out on the banquette. So together they got her up and Cy escorted her home and got her into her apartment. And he decided, since I'm dressed up, I'm going to go have that lunch at Sardi's. So he went and he's having his lunch at Sardi's, and they bring the phone to his table and it's Dorothy Fields. And she says, oh, Cy, I'm just not feeling up to it today. Can we reschedule? No memory.
No memory that she actually had been there. Oh, God.
And somehow they made it work.
I know. His collaborators. And that's the thing that I always find really interesting, is that when you look at his collaborators, people like Dorothy Fields and Comden and Green they were veterans of Broadway predating him. I mean, because Dorothy Fields had been working on Broadway since the 20s, and Comden and Green had broken in the early 1940s. And here was Cy Coleman not really coming into Broadway until the early 60s. So, you know, it's an interesting that he was working with such veterans all the time. Talk to me a little bit about putting the album together and getting into the, when did you actually record this?
We recorded it, we began on, just like we do with the Sondheim album, on my mother's birthday, which is Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So we did our first 2 days back to back in the studio, for the 14th and 15th of February.
Oh, wow.
And then, and then we came back. That those first 2 days were just the vocals with the guest artists and piano, bass, drum, guitar. And then Alex had about 6 weeks to take those and imagine the orchestrations. And so it was in March that we reconvened for 2 days with the strings and the horns.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had an opportunity to go in and tweak some vocals.
So really, it's a relatively quick, Very quick.
It is that the PS Classics template is based on Broadway musicals where they really go in and you do it. You know, it those first 2 days are really, you know, we did like 5-6 versions of each song just back over, you know, well, let's just do it again. And most producers that I've ever met call what I would be doing a scratch vocal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need to worry about your vocal. We're really focusing on getting the tempos that we want, the sound that we want. But PS Classics, because of their cast albums, like, no, you go for it because that magic of the live musicians and you.
Right.
So it's two very vocally, you know, a cast album, you're not on every song.
Exactly.
On this kind of album, it was a lot of singing for 2 days. But those were the second day is when Anne and Liz came and Danny Backer, and it was just, and Sean Harkness was there the whole thing. I cannot believe that the Calloways were there at the same time.
Oh, they came together?
They came together.
Oh my God, that's so fun.
Anne was in town and Liz came in. It was so much fun.
It's amazing you got any work done.
Well, we were on a schedule.
They were on a schedule.
We had 40. We had 40 minutes to put down. It was the first time Anne and I had ever sung the arrangement together, and it was the first time Liz and I had sung it together in 17 years. So I can't say we were doing it on autopilot. They just were magical days. They just really were. There is nothing to be said about, enough cannot be said about the gift of time.
Right.
People, and that I still have the continuity of having the two of them
anywhere
in my orbit. Mm-hmm. This is a real gift. And the same with Alex and Sarah Louise Lazarus, just that we've had these long lasting friendships and partnerships.
Well, it's in some ways it's actually good that the album is happening now. It's happening at the right time for you.
Well, that's, you know, I enjoyed singing these songs in my 40s, but I have to believe I'm bringing more to them in my 60s. I really have to.
Mm-hmm.
There's one song that's cut from Barnum.
Oh, I saw that one. Time. Yeah.
And it's, you know, that lyric can only have resonance if you have loved and lost. And when I first sang it in my 40s, my parents were both still alive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the intervening years, I've said goodbye to both of them. The executive producer of this album passed away because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not here to see across the finish line. There have been some profound losses in my life. So the lyric of So Little Time, you know, where did it go? This lifetime hurrying by. When did it fly away? Leaving so little time to tell you so many things I always meant to say. I mean, it just, I couldn't possibly have sung it the same. In my 40s. So there's that.
So before we wind down here, I want you to tell one story. And that is, which was very funny because I was reading it in your notes, which is your very first time you met Cy Coleman, which was at the Comden and Green tribute. That's a very funny story, especially when you were just kind of offhandedly listing the people who were involved. And I'm reading it going, wait, who? What?
I know. So
tell
if you can imagine, you know, so I was a singing waiter, and then and we did this tribute to Comden Green. It was the first show Sarah and Alex and I collaborated on in 1989. And all of a sudden we're plucked and moved to the ballroom where we did 7 shows a week for 5 weeks, and it got reviewed in every major newspaper. And it also was the year that Comden and Green celebrated 50 years in show business. Mm-hmm. And I was invited to appear at the Berkshire Theater Festival in a tribute to Condon and Green with an all-star cast. So I went for my, I took the Peter Pan bus up to Stockbridge, checked into the Red Lion Inn and went for my sound check. And then when I came back, they said, we have arranged a table for the artists to relax before the show. So I said, oh, great. And they took me down to the table to relax and seated me between Tyne Daly and Lauren Bacall, and Cy Coleman was on the other side of her. And I just wanted to turn and run the other way. I was terrified. And Lauren Bacall, bless her heart, literally twisted her body to face me and said, so you're the 13-year-old who's getting all the great reviews. I want to know everything. Why are you singing in cabarets? And I mean, thank God for her. And I said, you know, because I had only ever heard horror stories about you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be in her way, mm-hmm. is what I had heard, that, you know, she could be a terror. And, you know, so I said, well, I came to New York hoping to do Broadway, but I didn't get a show. So I thought I'd do cabaret as a showcase. And she turned the other way and said, Cy, why can't the kid get a Broadway show? And he went, and he just kind of shrugged. But, you know, it just broke the ice. And I'll tell you, that night doing that tribute to Condon and Green, and Cy was singing songs we had never heard yet from Will Rogers' Follies. Mm-hmm. And he had Lilias White there with him to sing. And, you know, it was just amazing. But I was crossing over backstage, and there was Lauren Bacall. And she said, you are having the best time, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am, because I was. I mean, this just, you know, you might as well stuck up a lightning rod and hit me. but that she had the kindness to see that it really meant something to me, because she could have been so jaded about it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know how doing those benefits are now, you
right.
know, but to actually see that somebody was having the time of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Was very kind of her. And Cy was, of course, so nice, but but very soft-spoken that night.
Right. I read that story and I just cracked up. I was like, good Lord. Sitting between Tyne Daly and Lauren Bacall. Oh my God. What a combination. What a combination. My goodness.
Oh, I was so intimidated. That's crazy.
So to let everyone know that your album is out now, called A Collective Cy. It's a collection of Cy Coleman songs. He's got a wonderful lineup of collaborators on the album as well. And you are going to be touring to celebrate the album's release. I believe coming up, you're going to be in Carmel, Indiana. And you've got...
That actually just happened. That was on September 8th.
Oh, it did just happen.
The album came out.
That did right. just happen. So oh, sorry.
That's okay. The next stop is St. Louis.
Yes.
we'll be, but how perfect the first time we did the show was at Feinstein's at the Regency. And
right.
the first time we're doing the album and the day that it releases is Feinstein's.
But you're going to be in St. Louis and you're going to be in Chicago.
Chicago area.
And then you're going to London.
And then London, the 27th and 28th at the Pheasantry.
Right.
I'm very, very excited about that.
That's cool. And then you're going to be at Birdland in New York.
To Birdland on Monday, October 2nd.
And are there other dates coming up?
We're working on them. We're not announcing them yet, but yeah, I hope to be out in California.
Oh, good.
In LA.
Terrific. Terrific. I will definitely come see you. Definitely come see you.
That would be fantastic, Donald.
And where can people find you on the web?
jeffharner.com, H-A-R-N-A-R.
A-R, right. Not E-R, A-R. I will make sure to include a link on the radio show page. Jeff, as always, it's a delight to chat with you. And congratulations on the album. It's a wonderful listen. It's just fantastic. You know?
Thank you.
Thank
you for bringing up how truly spectacular the cast album of On the 20th Century is.
Oh.
It is comedy gold.
It is.
Compton and Green with Madeline Kahn and John Cullum is just nectar.
Well, I hope to talk to you soon, and I hope to see you in person soon.
Yes. Well, I won't have another new album next year, but we'll find a reason.
Oh, I don't know. I think you better get
you
to work.
You never know.
You better get to work. I'm going to talk to Tommy and Philip and say, we got to get another album. We got to keep this going once a year. Guess Jeff in the studio every year.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks so much, Donald. Bye-bye.
to tell you so many things I meant to. Where did the summer go? With still so much to say, songs that I meant to sing you, praises and pearls to fling you, roses that I forgot to bring you. I still long to hold you, embrace you, enfold you, but somehow I never ever told you. Where did it go? This lifetime hurrying by, when did it fly away, leaving so little time to tell you so many things I always meant to.